Welcome to the Embodiment Conference. This channel, Trauma and Social Change, it's absolutely the moment for that, isn't it? I'm Steve Hoskinson. I'm the founder of Organic Intelligence. I've been teaching in this area of trauma, embodiment, and social change for about 25 years. It's an honor, really, for us to be sponsoring this channel where we're going to hear a multiplicity of voice, all unique contributors to our collective understanding of how to move from trauma and support then social change. Our unique voice in organic intelligence has something to do with a koan that I'd like to present to you, which is trauma means unintegrated resource. And that's a koan, and if you'd like and are feeling intrigued about that riddle, then tune in to the post-trauma system development course that we are offering here. The coupon code that'll get you half off on that is ENJOY. Now, enjoy this next presentation, and we'll look forward to another meaningful time as we explore these topics, trauma and social change. Enjoy.
And so to our presenter today, Bonfas Betty. Bonfas is an African artist and practitioner working with embodied theatre on trauma and social change. He has worked with Amani People's Theatre and now the Green String Network, which developed the healing-centered peace-building approach. Using theatre in the African sense of shared space for discussion and blurring of boundaries, Bonfas will explore theatre as a way of knowing the African world, using its community roots to break cycles of oppression and violence. Looking at the Green String website, which we'll put a link up to during the presentation, which I highly recommend you have a look at, I saw a great quote: by looking at the world's problems through a trauma-informed lens, community restores hope one life at a time. So a warm welcome. We can't hear you, but we can feel you. So please warmly welcome Bonfas Betty.
Thank you very much. For everyone who is attending this session, this is 10 a.m. in Nairobi, Kenya, in the morning, and it's on a public holiday, so I'm around here. And I'm also very happy and privileged to have Angie Odamaina, who is my mentor and the person who is heading the Green String Network. She's the person who has held my hand and helped me understand this kind of work for many years. So I really want to honor her for attending this meeting and for everyone who is here. So I'm going to prepare to get into sharing my screen and my PowerPoint. I'm sitting on this platform because this platform I'm representing the Green String Network, which is doing amazing work in this part of the world. The kind of work that never get to be highlighted in many other places, that is very powerful, that has captivated me as an artist, but also as a peace builder and a person who is working now at the intersection of mental health and peace building. So let me go to the PowerPoint presentation. Just open it and we can begin. Just 1 second. Okay, so
anything we can do to help them first?
No, I'm okay. I can go to share my screen. Let me see. You can see the screen, right?
Yeah, that's great.
Okay. Thank you very much. So the topic I'm going to share today about is theater of imagination, reclaiming our bodies as emancipatory peace building practice in Africa. The reason I chose this topic is because of the kind of work GSN is doing. GSN, Green String Network, is an organization, is a social movement in this part of the world that works with grassroots communities. And one of the things that GSN is very prominent for using is a multi-arts approach to the work of healing in Africa. And just to give you a quick context, we are working in post-colonial societies, and we are in the part of the world where there's a lot of things happening, especially on the social level, but also on individual level. So the issue of agency is very critical. If you talk about, and the issue of collective healing, how you link individual into collective healing is so critical, because things don't just happen in isolation, or the society here did not just wake up in the morning and find itself where we are, but there is a series of many things that have led to the present realities that we have to grapple with at individual, but at also structural level. This is why, the work of Green String Network and the work of individual artists, but also peacemakers and also mental health workers, social workers, teachers, is very critical to what we are doing in this part of the world. So as a Green String Network is a multidisciplinary organization that intersects the issues of social justice with the issues of mental health, well-being, and resilience of communities and individuals at all levels, realizing that well-being is critical to structural well-being, but also to collective well-being of the society. So that is why things like theater, which are very embodied experiences, and also use of watercolor, painting, storytelling, which are our cultural resources, are very critical for us, because we look at culture as one of the resources that we have. And we also look at especially the cultures around embodied experiences, which are very, very much rooted in our African way of being in the world and experiences. We tap into these as part of our resources. So quickly, this is a metaphor that we use in a lot of our work, wherever we work with community members, everyday people, because at the end of the day, it's about the agency of everyday people. That is, mental health for us is about social justice. So the cracked cup metaphor talks about quickly about if you have individuals or communities that have cracks, speaking metaphorically, you realize that all the beautiful things or resources and the resources that you pour into this kind of or that are found in this kind of communities will easily seep away, will leak because of the cracks in the society. And that is what trauma does to communities, to individuals, and to structures of society, whereby cracks emerge, and therefore the work we are doing is a foundational piece to all manner of development work. Many people, especially that partner with African countries or communities to do development, they don't take this into consideration, that if there are cracks in the communities, you are going to lose resources, and eventually you might end up losing even lives, because cracks allow beautiful things that people have in these societies that we live in and we are part of to get lost. Therefore, the crack cup metaphor for us is very critical, and it's for everyone in every context, I believe. If there are cracks, which trauma does, trauma brings cracks, and these cracks can lead to precious things being lost, and especially the loss of humanity, which I think for me is very critical. If you lose your humanity, that is what we are in here as Green String Network and other organizations, trying to work with people to reclaim their humanity and their human agency. So when we look at things, for example, like trauma does not just happen today. Like I said, communities don't just wake up in the morning and they find themselves traumatized, or individuals. Things happen. We always say it is not what is wrong with me, but it is what happened to me. Most of our communities we work in are post-colonial communities, which means we have different types of trauma that I'll be looking at quickly. One of them is, for example, colonialism. And what happens is that colonialism is a form of oppression. And for us also, we look at trauma as oppression. Colonialism leaves things called legacies in a lot of societies that are post-colonial. And these impacts also people's well-being and resilience, even people's sense of identity and the sense of believing themselves, which is agency. it becomes very difficult. Even as I showed you in the crack cup metaphor, it becomes very hard even to build simple things like government. Because if you have to build government, democracy presupposes that individuals will have agency, will make a choice, and they'll be able to have the capacity to participate in public forums without fear and things like that, that people will not be corrupt. But where there is things like colonial trauma, you find it leads into many other things that impact society, including building things like government, or even think about development for those societies. So that is very, very critical to take note. So colonization brings in aspects of trauma. And you have other things, for example, where you have, where corruption, for example, comes in, or lack of look like going for the best standards in society. And this comes from a whole range of things. For example, you have issues of government, you have like structural issues, but also individuals. And the issue of safety comes into play, where you find that people don't feel safe because a lot of things will happen. For example, in these pictures you can see. When this happens, safety is not there and trauma lives with people. Then sometimes young people will feel dissatisfied, specifically during elections or during contested political situations, where you will find these traumas coming to the surface. Like in this country, we have every 5 years, every person is afraid of what is going to happen. Right now, as I'm speaking here, and a lot of people that know Kenya, already we are in campaign mode. And there is a lot of indications that things will not be easy because of our history around issues of elections and the state. And these things go deeply rooted into issues of trauma. But when people look at these societies, many times they think, oh, there's this stereotyping of saying African countries, people cannot make peace. They just love to fight. No one wakes up in the morning and say they are going to be violent. The cycles of violence come from trauma. And then you end up having things like what you're seeing right now in the picture. Institutions also get affected by the trauma of society, where you expect institutions to serve you without fear or favor, without corruption, with integrity. But it becomes a very long journey for societies where there is trauma that feeds into from individual but into structures. You have police officers, for example, in this picture, a police officer who is escaping from being arrested by an oversight agency person that wants to stop corruption in the country. So you have these kind of things going on. And then you have also individual officers. So when people think about, for example, police institutions or other public institutions, no one thinks about like the people who work in these institutions get stressed and overwhelmed because of the trauma in their families, in their lives, but also the work-related trauma that impacts them. That most of the time they carry it in the body. And that is why this kind of work that we are doing as Green String Network is very critical. The police officer in their office will find like they are not supported by members of the public. The members of public will think police are corrupt, they are not good. And then the cycles of violence will begin because of trauma. And then now the violence sets in where you have a lot of mistrust between members of the public and security agencies or police officers. There is physical violence like this one, and much of it also feeds into issues of identity because we are a multicultural society, we are a society with different identities. So you find violence ensues because of the trauma that people carry from their own experience, but also as collectives. And then eventually you have like right now in Kenya, during this COVID-19 times, we have experienced a rise in the number of teenage pregnancies in the country. And it's not just because probably anyone is evil, but it's because of very complex societal traumatizing experiences that impact individuals, families that are supposed to take care of the young women, for example, especially now that they are not going to school, issues of safety become critical. Safety for girls also becomes a very structural issue that impacts their lives. And then it leads into, for example, early childhood pregnancies or younger teenage pregnancies that are on the rise. And this has become a big problem for the country that even we don't know how the country can deal with that. And then this also leads into things like sexual violence, for example, in the workplace, where you have issues of trauma that affects individuals playing out in the workplace, for example. And because there are structural, also traumatizing experiences, then institutions also adopt these kind of breakdowns, and the trauma of institutions set in. And you have these kind of realities, as we can see in the picture, including things like sexual harassment and sexual violence, which is in itself very traumatizing and something that people carry in their minds and in their bodies. So it leads into things like rape and sexual assault. Some of the cases that we have seen, many instances here, many times when people think about like sexual violence, they think about countries that are in overt direct violence. They think about countries where there is direct conflict. But in societies like even this one, you have trauma that has historical, all these types of trauma that really impinges on people's lives and leads into this kind of violence that we are witnessing right here. And then you have also, you have issues, for example, of evictions. Like we saw in the previous picture, you have post-election violence, for example, election violence. Actually, one of the things that we need to know that, for example, now the US for the first time is grappling with pre-election conflict. This is something that is very common. And here it leads into things like evictions, where people start to stereotype others to say, you don't come from this part of the country, you are not supposed to be here, you are coming here to take our land. All these things come from deeply rooted trauma that Green String Network is seeking to address. And then you have ethnic tensions, of course, and you have like when people, young people are jobless and they blame everything maybe to other ethnic group members. Or right now we have a whole movement that is trying to raise up the lower class people to rise up against those who have been in the power, political power for many years. So these are some of the things. And then you might end up also having issues of police or security agencies having to deal, especially when you have, right now, this country has dealt with issues of violent extremism, but a lot of it is or gang violence. And the only way, because trauma affects police agencies, but also affects individuals and communities, then the cycles of violence come in where police and members of the public go at each other, or you have breaking into houses to search for people who have committed crimes and violent things following. And the cycles of violence continue and the trauma continues intergenerationally. Or issues of poverty, where young people experience poverty. Right now there is a lot of research that is going around adverse childhood experiences and also adverse neighborhood experiences. All these things come into play when we think about how people respond to traumatic experiences or violence. Then all these things come together to make people feel they are victim. The victim experience comes in. Trauma sparks victim experiences in people, in institutions, in societies at large, where you find people, for example, they think about revenge, they think about anger and rage, they become hypervigilant, and all the feelings of being unsupported. For example, police officers say we are not supported and we are helpless. And for example, if they are undergoing difficult traumatizing experiences in their personal lives, in their families, they are not going to be effective in their workplace. And they are not going to be empathetic when they are dealing with members of the public, for example. So you have issues of addictions, you know, which we call in our work acting in or hurting self. So you have guilt, you have suicidal thoughts, and you have depression and isolation, and all these things come in. And then This may lead to things like fantasies of suicide or self-harm or people being suicidal. So these are some of the things that happen because of trauma and the cycle of violence that sets in. And then you have family disintegration. So you have issues of violence in the family, you know, where there is, in fact, you start to think about even gender-based violence setting in, or addictions that really leads into this disintegration of families. And you get people stressed, maybe they become alcoholics, or they get addicted to work, or because they are dealing with issues at home or family issues at home, and then they have to work, you know. If you are even a woman, it becomes more complex because of the issues of intersections between gender issues, work, and even like family roles. These things become very complex, and the trauma inside that becomes even more difficult. And then you have issues of stereotyping and discrimination that is actually supported by the cycles of violence and trauma, where people start to suspect each other. They start to say, this is a gang member, this is a thug, or this person belongs to this other religion, I can't trust them. These are refugees, you know, or you think about, these are people from another country. So these things are part of what perpetuates the cycles of violence. And then you have like issues of communities coming up to defend themselves or to seek for justice or to look for ways that they can feel safe, or groups of communities being rounded up and, for example, suspected to be members of terror groups or gang membership, or and then being violence being used on them to deal with them. These are some of the things that GSN, Green String Network, has been working on for many years. And we have had, for example, in this country, where members, for example, of the Somali community have been rounded up whenever there were incidences of violent extremism. So this kind of trauma becomes a big problem. And part of the reason now, in our work, we also look at, for example, how does the brain work? What are some of the ways in which brain science can link into these issues of social justice? This is very critical for us. So we all know how, mostly we know how, when people are in survival brain, they are always in freeze, flight, fight mode. And what happens is that if they get triggered, most of the time they are going to get, they will either fight, you know, or they will run away, or they will freeze. And all these things, or they will submit. And what happens is that all these things, trauma, our brains is wired for survival. So all the time we are wired for survival, and the brain does all it can to keep us safe. And what happens is that when people are in survival brain, it becomes very difficult for them to be rational and to go into decision-making. It becomes very, very hard because they have to survive. And that is what, for example, there's a lot of things that can trigger people in our society here that we have known that makes people to be stuck in survival mode, and they can't move into decision-making without support. So what happens is that people get triggered and they can't think. The frontal brain shuts down. And then decision-making can't be applied. And eventually, because in the frontal brain is where we make love, for example, where we love, where we learn things, where we pray to remain balanced, where we negotiate, and which means now, people will not be able to learn to do negotiation when they are triggered by violent experiences and traumatic experiences. This is where we plan. But for societies that have already been living in survival brain all their time, when you talk about future, it becomes very difficult for them to imagine there is tomorrow if their lives, they feel their lives are threatened because of the triggers that they are living in. And therefore, issues of planning, making money becomes very complicated because it's about survival. And therefore, people can't thrive, as it were. And that is how brain works in most of the contexts that we work in. And this also leads into, for example, we talked about victimhood. How victimhood now leads into, for example, people justifying their aggression to others because they feel, because we are victims, we have a right, for example, to be aggressors. And this one, the aggression comes in because people see themselves as victims, or many times you have strong in-group identities where you have issues, for example, around, like now in our context, you'll have like ethnicity, or you'll have things to do with classism, or you'll have other things to do, for example, with elitism versus ordinary citizens. So this becomes very, very important. And then you have development of good versus evil narratives, for example, where you have, they are the bad guys, we are the good guys. And these things, we have experienced them so much in our work. And these are things that you cannot just look at if you don't use a multidisciplinary lens that includes all aspects of understanding how violence and mental health and well-being and resilience are interconnected. So you have dehumanization of the enemy, et cetera, et cetera. And also people justify use of violence because they say, if we don't use violence, we are not going to redeem. They see violence as redemptive, you know? And then we are going to hear this short video quickly, and then we'll move to the next session. This is
I want you to breathe 5 times. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. Feel you are in a safe space, and you open your eyes when you are ready, and tell me how you feel.
Zile siku wakati zinaposonga, nilijikuta yale mambo ambayo kwamba nilikuwa siwezi ongea kwa community, ama na marafiki, ama na watoto, ama na nani. Nikajikuta naweza kuyaongea mbele ya watu. Yalikuwa ni mambo ambayo kwamba yalinipitia katika maisha yangu. Nikazirewind. Lakini nilikuwa nimejifungia. Nilikuwa sina mtu wa kuambia. Nilikuwa tu mimi na respect kwa roho. So hiyo training ilifanya nikafungua hiyo maneno. Na nikikumbuka yale mambo yalinifika kama mama, kama mkaaji wa Majengo. Ambaye alikwenda Somalia. Hakuniaga. Sina kijana mwingi. Sina kijana. So yule kijana alienda kwa kweli, wakati maybe alienda akaona hakuna lile lililompeleka kule, vile waliambiwa waende sio kile alikwenda akaona. Ali decide kurudi. Na wakati kijana alirudi, yeye alichukuliwa kama tamuta mfisadi ama nini, ambaye alisaliti wenzake. So huko huko Somalia ilitumwa vijana wengine wa hapa Majengo wakamshoot kijana. Trauma umekata tamaa na maisha, na violent extremism. Na kuna mtu pale anakuambia, come, you will get, utapewa bunduki bure, you will be trained, come for your religion. Atafanya nini?
Yeah, so as you have seen, the kind of work we are doing. Yeah. So this is a practical example of the work we do in communities where, like, for example, this is Mama Zuria. She lives in a small village of Nairobi, one of the small informal settlement places in Nairobi called Majengo, where communities have been ravaged by violent extremism and the cycles of violence that come from historical years when Majengo communities were formed in this country, and now they're impacted by the new violence called violent extremism, but with other violence, types of violence going back into historical years. So healing these kind of communities where you have historical trauma and then you have different layers of violence, structural violence in the same place, impacting community generation after generation, is not very easy to come up with, especially with biomedical models that will be able to address these kind of things and make them go away. You have to have very structural, very holistic approaches to deal with this kind of violence. For example, Mama Zuria is talking about her own personal story and her loss of her son to violent extremism because of what was happening to the communities of Majengo for many years. And that is why in our work of healing with communities, we are working with, for example, members of security agencies to heal their own trauma, but also working with members of the communities to heal their own trauma. So in the community program, which is called Kumekucha, the work is to break cycles of violence within communities, to deal with the issues of victimhood and aggressor cycles, as we have seen, and break those cycles. But also, you can't do that in isolation from security agencies if the end goal in the future is to be able to bring collective healing for members of security forces, but also members of the communities, so that you have holistic healing. So we use a peer support approach. So we are not your typical NGO, but we are sort of like a social movement working with champions, people who are already doing work. For example, Mama Zuria was already working, even though she was a victim, she lost her child, she was already working on healing her own community. And Green String Network, when we went into Majengo to work with the community, these are the kind of people that partnered with us to do community-wide healing for people in their neighborhoods. Because these are the people that they go to people in the community, Mama Zuria. We call them the Mama Anisas, or Mama Zurias. The people that you go to when you are distressed, when you are undergoing toxic stress in the communities. Because we are working in places that are almost, you have non-existent community health systems. So how are you going to deal with that? And our work envisions healing as a movement, as a social change movement. And that is why I would like maybe Angie, just if you have a moment to say something about this. Okay, you are, okay, right. So I will continue quickly because of time. And then we work with members of communities who are mostly women and all youth at risk, elders. So it's people who have been impacted by violence themselves, being in charge of this momentum for healing because of their own story, and they find their own turning points and they begin to heal, not themselves, but communities. We are working with ex-gang members. We are working with community health workers, police officers, military, all these professional. So it's very multidisciplinary, and also with people with lived experience and people who have become healers from their own woundedness. So that's our work. And then we use, for example, how do we do it? So for example, this is a session being conducted by police officers, a peer session, where the facilitator is police officer is able to share some of their taking their colleagues through some of our 12-week sessions where they talk about issues like, what does it mean for you as a police officer to be a victim? Or when does it, how do you cross the line from being a victim and becoming an aggressor? You know, so this is practically, this is the first kind of a program of its own type in this part of the world. And I'm very sure in many other countries where we have, for example, Kenya has had issues of police brutality for so long, but it's not because our police are any different from any police in the United States or police from India or from South Africa. It's the same thing, but we need healing that really they own their own healing agenda, where we don't know their victimhood experience, how it looks like, or the aggressor cycle, how it looks like, because I'm not a police officer, I'm a civilian. So you have this kind of experience. For community members also, they have their own journey. They talk about their experiences of victimhood and aggressor and how to find healing out of the cycles of violence. And our 12-week program takes groups of police officers or community members or prison officers through 12-week sessions where they learn to become resources for peace and they refuse to be victims. You know, they break out of the cycles of violence. And part of our materials, we have materials to do this kind of work that leads into discussing, for example, resilience, post-traumatic growth for communities to thrive. So the 12 weeks talks about different things, for example, trauma and stress awareness, or well-being and resilience practices. We look at those kind of identity, we look at healing and transformation, we look at security, what does it mean? What is the difference between human types of security, human security, state security, all those kind of securities, and what it means for people's lived experiences and context, and how they imagine a different world for themselves through their human agency reclamation. So our materials are very cultural. We use multi-arts approach. So we use cultural artwork, tradition, storytelling, but we also use theater. We use different types of theater. We use forum theater. We use mostly different types of theater of the oppressed. So forum theater is there. We have, right now, there's a program we are running that is actually bringing members of police service together with communities through forum theater work and interaction. But mainly our work taps into the traditions of the people, into the storytelling traditions as a resource, the storytelling resources that we already have in the communities. And I should have warned you in the beginning, some of the pictures we use in other contexts, people will say these pictures are very sensitive or they are going to trigger people. But what we've discovered from our communities is that this is part of their truth telling. Community members are the ones, because they experience worse things than what we even see in these pictures. And they tell us that this is what we want, because when we develop these materials, they are developed by community members. We don't write curriculums for communities. So they are cultural. We work with artists who are community members. They work with community folk groups that tell them what to write, what to depict in within the lines of their traditions and storytelling culture. And that is what we've been doing. And our work is led by volunteers, mostly community volunteers. Like I said in the beginning, we have people who are already working in communities. They are the go-to people. They are the healers of the communities. They might not be mental health experts. They might not have psychology degrees. They might not have peace building degrees like maybe ourselves, but they are the people that are trusted within the communities, because in these communities, you don't have community mental health hospitals. You don't have community mental health psychiatrists to work with people, but you have mainly volunteers. And the structures you have down there are very simple structures. And therefore you have to have something that is simple and cost effective and can be used by large populations of people to scale. So we use our engine for social healing. We actually call it social healing, is the healing circles. And this is also borrowed from the indigenous traditions of worldviews of African people, where the circles were very, very critical for us as places for reflection and healing. Places like South Africa, Kenya, and all of African countries you find the circle being the most critical aspect. But we use modern security peace building neuroscience approaches also to integrate them with these traditional indigenous healing mechanisms. So we use paintings and pictures, like I said, and we use strings, which are metaphors for us. We use them as metaphors to symbolize healing, victimhood, aggressor, and breaking out, which is healing. So we use those specifically for this kind of work. This is an example. So you have the circle, and then we have embodied experiences. For example, we tap into African cultural dances, shaking. For example, in South Sudan, where we are working, when our sessions are going on, people will dance, people will sing, you know, they will sing songs from their communities and cultures as forms of healing. These are the things that have been destroyed because of different types of trauma. And then you have, we are always innovating and being creative because our work is not cast on stone. We are open to learning new ways of doing this kind of work. And we are also rooted in our theory. We are part of development of theory in this kind of work and in this part of the world. And our work actually so far has produced a dissertation that is very, very like groundbreaking in this kind of work in terms of theory development that brings multi-arts together with indigenous knowledge, but also with neuroscience and psychology approaches of modern times. So this is where we end up, for example, with breaking free with communities. We look at, for example, after you feel you're a victim or you are the aggressor, is there any way you can be able to break out of these cycles of violence? So the cycles of violence is one of those theoretical frameworks we use in our work to symbolize how people get trapped in this kind of hurting self, hurting others, and if there are ways of breaking out of this kind of cycles. And we call this a trauma-informed approach. Now we call it well-being and resilience approach. But we look at, for example, how to break out of these things. What is forgiveness, for example? What is justice? So at the end of our 12 weeks or our trainings, we always, people get to a point where they start to think, police officers, members of the community, communities impacted by violent extremism, teachers in schools, prison wardens, they come to a place they started to think, what does it mean? What is forgiveness? You know, how can I gain choice? Because healing gives you choice. Trauma takes away choice from you. When we meet with people who have experienced trauma, they tell us, or members, for example, people who are returning from being members of Al-Shabaab, or violent extremist groups, they say, what choice did I have except to use violence? Because I felt the system was against me. So we think about what is forgiveness, forgiving yourself but others. What does it mean? But we also use arts to symbolize all this. We use pictures and stories and movement also, and indigenous knowledge to talk about, for example, what are indigenous forms of justice? You know, what is restorative justice? What is cultural heal? All these kind of things. What is peace? Peace is not the absence of direct violence, but what is peace? We start to think also about other things like social reconciliation. We think about political reconciliation. And we think about all these aspects as a way of breaking from the cycles of violence. For example, during post-election violence or violent extremist experiences, there is need for healing, you know, and social healing, reconciliation, political reconciliation, it happens. The wounds in everyday people's lives needs to be healed. How do you heal that? Within the police service institutions, prison warden systems, you know, what does healing look like? What does, for example, gender healing look like? Family reintegration and healing, how will that look like? How will that help societies to thrive and to develop post-traumatic growth? It's very critical. This is a police officer with members of his family watching a football match, you know, that they support. How does that feel like for children, for mothers, for fathers? How does that look like? Especially for people who are police officers, security officers, in terms of identity, you have the identity of police officer, you have the identity of a mother or a father, you have the identity of a father figure or a mentor for your children. How does that look like in terms of trauma healing? And then the everyday go to healers, community healers, they can host these sessions under a tree. And in Africa, healing sessions have been held under the tree for thousands of years as indigenous ways of healing. Circles have always been used under a tree for many years. When I was growing up, I never saw a police officer in my village, but I always saw people sitting under a tree to solve things, to resolve issues and find healing. And in this case, even women in most of our indigenous societies, women were also the majority of the healers that we have had. And then you even this work, the embodiment comes in where, for example, frozen police officers that are supposed to be macho, they are supposed to be no-nonsense because they are maintaining law and order. They are supposed to deal with criminals in quotes. You know, they can now find a place where they can do a jig. They can dance a little bit and sing a song. This is not very easy in this kind of society. So this is the kind of work that we do. They can do theater now. We are going to work with them on this kind of work soon. And you have thriving communities, for example, where you have shops, people can go, they have social cohesion, they can speak across religious identities, gender, and all these kind of aspects. This does not just happen by itself. Healing is intentional and it's not a linear process. And then people start to grapple with issues of justice. You know, what is justice? They start to seek, go to the right places to find justice instead of using violence. They believe in the judicial systems for the first time. In countries like this, you hear people saying they don't believe all the judges are corrupt, all the lawyers are corrupt. But when healing happens, people start to believe in this. You have healed justice systems. And then you have families thriving. And then you have memorialization of some of the things that happened in the past. Things are not swept under the carpet. Healing happens, rituals of national healing and symbolizing of nationhood for people becomes critical. Then you have political reconciliation. And lastly, have one last video here.
I want you to breathe five times.
Sorry, I think this one. Already played.
What?
Yeah. Yeah. Okay, Bonnie, just play it.
Sure.
Okay.
Three.
Yeah.
Four. Five. Okay. Breathe out. One. Two. Three. Four. Feel you are in a safe space and open your eyes when you are ready and tell me how you feel. Never. Naitwa Zuria Omari na nimetoka sehemu ya Majengo. Mimi ni mama na ni nyanya. About kumekucha, it's about trauma. Mimi sijawahi kusikia kitu kama hiyo. Zile siku wakati zinaposonga, nilijikuta yale mambo ambayo kwamba nilikuwa siwezi ongea kwa community, ama na marafiki, ama na watoto, ama na nani, nikajikuta naweza kuyaongea mbele ya watu. Yalikuwa ni mambo ambayo kwamba yalinipitia katika maisha yangu. Nikazi rewind, lakini nilikuwa nimefungia. Nilikuwa sina mtu wa kuambia, chukua tumina na jifungi kwa roho. So, hiyo training ilifanya nikafungua hiyo maneno. Na wakati wa kutoka kwa hiyo training, tuliambiwa tutafute watu ambao kwamba weko na uzito kama sisi. Ile safe space waliikubali kwamba haya maneno hayatatoka nje. Na tuliaminiana na tulienda pamoja mpaka 12 sessions. Pia kulingana na zile picha ambazo kwamba tulikuwa tunapewa za kufanyisha training, zilikuwa zikiwagusa sana. Manake most of them walikuwa kusema, huu ni mimi. Kusema kweli, topics zote ziliwagusa, isipokuwa ile iliwagusa sana mjane. Wakati wa maisha magumu ama mambo umepitia magumu magumu, tulikuwa tunaweka stones. Wakati kidogo mambo inaenda vizuri, kwa tunaweka flowers. But for Mwajina, ilikuwa ni ngumu sana, hakuweka flowers. The whole journey ni kama ilikuwa two stones. Trauma ni mingi. Kuna matukio ambayo kwamba yanaweza tokea ikawa mpaka utashikwa na wazimu. Kuna matukio ambayo kwamba yanatokea unaweza kujiachilia, yani wewe sasa umekata tamaa na maisha. So hii program ilitu boost katika haya yote, ndio mwisho wa mambo kutukumba. Lakini sasa in case ikitokea mambo kama hayo, tuna njia, tuna vile tunaweza kabiliana na mambo. Lakini challenges lazima zipo. Ningeomba kila mmoja ambaye kwamba anasikia hii kumekucha, aje, tuko, tumetrainiwa, maparticipants wetu tumewatrain, waje, tujifunze sote, bado tunaendelea kujifunza. Na singeomba ishe, na I hope itasaidia wengi. Na twende mpaka mashinani huko, tutoe watu ambao wanatoma.
Bonfas, thank you so much. I wonder if you could stop sharing your screen for a moment so that we can come back to the room. That was an incredibly full and complete presentation. Really appreciated it, very moved by your completion and the hope of it as well. And lots of appreciation in the chat, particularly for the drawings. Really lots of comments on the drawings, and I myself was going, oh, I want to ask him about the drawings, they're amazing, what a great resource to use. Angie has been answering questions on your behalf, which is brilliant to have her in the room. So that's worked really well, because I need to come to some announcements, and then in a minute I'm going to come back to you for your top embodiment tip, and particularly maybe in the context of this work, this complex work you do. We have people on the chat who work in a similar area. So maybe a tip that really works well in your environment, if you could spend a few moments thinking of that, that would be great. So coming to a few announcements, it's nearly the end of this presentation. Thank you for your attention and for being here with all of us, everybody. At 10 o'clock on this channel, we have a presentation from Eva Fenrich and Mark Husser on less stress in everyday life by coming back to your rhythm. So do join us for that on the hour at 10. You can keep the conversation going in the Facebook groups, either the channel group or the trauma and social change group. And Marianne's going to put up the links for that. Sessions are available free to review for 48 hours, but you can also own the library. Really recommended if you have the resources to do so. If you work in trauma environments, there are opportunities to get the library at a very reduced rate that have just been announced. So please contact us. And also to have installment payments if you really want to have the relaxation of knowing you've got all this massive content. Please just do consider it, because you can relax, you can let go, and then you can just pick and choose the ones you want to see now, knowing that you can check in with all the great presentations another time. It's a very valuable resource. There are learning cribs, there are learning notes that come with the library. And also it means that we are able to offer this for free, And it feels like a huge thank you to us for all the work that's gone into putting this conference on. So if you can do, please look for the upgrade button, which Marion will also post. I think that's everything I want to share with you. So to complete, Bonfas, would you please share with us your top embodiment tip?
Well, my top embodiment tip is healing is not a linear process. Healing is a messy process, and the body is part of it. Must heal our bodies because we carry trauma in our bodies. Yeah.
Yeah, beautiful. And the work you did, the video of your volunteer, it's very, very powerful to witness what she's been through and then her using the body as a way into for her own kind of approach to life and sharing that with other people. It was really great. Story to show. Do appreciate it very much. So thank you very much, Bonfas. I've really enjoyed this. Found it quite challenging to begin with and then very hopeful at the end. Thank you for your work. Honestly, it sounds amazing organization. Do check out the website. I was very inspired by your website. I thought the information there and the programs you're running and just the breadth of the people that you're working with is incredible. It must be.
I want to thank all GSN people. I know they are here. Thank you very much. And Angie's leadership and us. Thank you, everyone.
Yeah, Angie, thank you for being here. It's been really helpful to have you as well answering questions while Bonfas gave the presentation. So thank you, everybody. We're going to close the sessions shortly. It's been wonderful to share this session with you. Keep the conversation going, join the Facebook groups. Oh, and the breakout rooms also. There are coffee sessions that keep trying with them. If there's nobody there when you go to one, do try again, because when you get a group of people, it's really great to meet people. And I've made some really good friends through those in the last conference and had a great chat with some people yesterday. So it's really worth keep trying with the coffee rooms that are available through the portal. The link again is in the chat. Thank you to Bonfas Betty. Thank you to Angie. Really great to meet you guys. And keep coming back for more sessions in this great channel. Take care, everybody. Thank you.